grateful for what they've already been given. There's a surefire way in my household to have nothing good come your way from daddy. It's complain about what you already have. Any parents in here that you know what I'm talking about? I don't want to open up any blessings for my kids that are complaining about the ones that they've already gotten. And for me, that's really convicting because it is easy to dole out that to my children, going, what, you're not thankful? Nothing. Because I can be a little on the tough side with my kids. But I better remember that that principle comes down from the Father above. And so I want us to be a church that operates in gratitude and so grateful for what we have. And let me just tell you, I'm grateful for the men that surround me, for the Dales, for the Dennises, for the Ronnies, for the Pastor Toms, for the Pastor Joshes. I could go on and on. I'm so grateful. And I know this, and I say it all the time, but it's so true. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So into today's message. Last week, we talked about You Got This, and we're in the middle of a series called Winning. And my heart is that you win the spiritual battles that come your way. And let me tell you, there are spiritual battles that come your way, but you got to know that you got this when you recognize that it's not in your strength, that you have to fight the things around you. And I'm not talking just purely physical. Don't get wrapped up into thinking that the physical world is all there is, because there is a spiritual world that if we could unzip the fabric of space-time, if we could pull it back and see into the spiritual realm, we would see that there is a battle raging for hearts, minds, and souls. Because the enemy, Satan, is alive and well. He's real, and his passion is to destroy humanity because he hates God and he hates God's creation. Let me tell you, we can win the battle. In fact, the war has already been won, but we can fight the battles and win, but not if we try and do it in our own flesh and our own strength and do what we think is right. Actually, Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 say that. And so when I think, man, I got this, devil, I got your number, and like I'm going to whoop your behind, you better be careful, because if you're operating in your strength, you're going to lose. But if you come to the fight that's internal, if you come to the resistance that's headed your way with the truth that it is not me that defeats this thing inside of me or in front of me, but it is God's power through what Jesus already did, that he destroyed the work of the enemy, all I have to do is walk in the light and the truth that it's already been done. That doesn't mean that there's no darkness that comes our way. How many of y'all have walked through some dark seasons in your life? How many of you in those dark seasons, you've made it your mission to do what was right in the eyes of God? Most people are like, oh man, it's messed up. I need you, God. May we realize that at all times he's with us. Isn't it funny how in the dark times we want to think that man, God, this is what we usually think. God, where are you? And so we're not quite sure, because truth is in the good times it's easy to walk away from him, but in the hard times and the dark times, we start looking. And here's how gracious God is. He says, if you seek me, you'll find. May we walk with him the entire time, so that before the battle ever starts raging around us, that we know that it's already won and we don't get to do this. Y'all ever done this in your walk with God? Come on. How many of y'all done this? Man, I want you to know that we've got this. I want you to know that, yeah, the struggle is real. That was week one. The struggle is real. Week two was we got this. But today, I want to ask the question, who got your back? Who's got your back? I'll never forget, I was a very young, well, I was young, very young in ministry, and I was working with some students that were at our church, and one of them, he was a great dude, super high intellect, super smart, had some real internal struggles. There was a war that was raging, and I was meeting with him one day, and he got upset. Just in general, and I can't remember what the specific thing was, but he went off on me, and in all honesty, I hadn't done really anything, nothing, just asking questions, hey, what's going on, what's happening, and he went off on me. I'm talking like, it's probably the worst I've ever been cussed out, and he was going off and in my face, and they had one of the real quiet, small guys that was a part of this program, and he was real calm, real quiet. And Tommy walked up and with tremendous authority and so totally out of character for this very quiet natured guy, got in this other guy's face and said, "You better shut up, and I don't ever want to hear you talking to him like that ever again." And just put this guy in his place. It was like he got smacked upside the head with a board. And I don't know that I've ever felt any more supported than in that moment, because somebody had my back. You ever been in a situation where it feels like you're just getting attacked and somebody steps up and got your back and knocks the enemy upside the head? Anybody ever felt like, really, like somebody's had my back before? Does that feel good to know that you're not at it alone and somebody's got your back? This is what I want you to know today, that God has your back and he loves you tremendously. Is there a spiritual war that rages? You better believe it. I mean, there's some nasty junk that comes our way, and if we're not careful, we'll lose that battle and give ourselves to the nasty junk rather than to the purpose and the plan that God has for us. How do you win that battle? Yeah, you got to know it's for real. You got to know that it's only through Jesus and his power that we win that. We can fight it in our own strength, but it'll just beat us down to the place where we ultimately give in. But when we know that, man, God, I'm going to follow the purpose and plan for which you created me, we know that we're going to win, but we also have to know that in the middle of that battle, he has our back. And last week, I talked about the demonic realm that wars against humanity. There's one thing I want to talk about today that you don't hear that often in church, and yet there are over 300 scriptures that deal specifically with this thing. It's angels. Everybody here has heard of angels. But what do we really know biblically about angels? They're mentioned over 300 times in the scriptures. And it's, I think, pretty cool as I'm doing this research, realizing that God has my back and there is an army in heaven that is behind me and rooting for me. And it's really cool because angels are real. And what's so crazy is that there's like a mass conspiracy theory. And some of you are conspiracy theorists. I know you. There is a conspiracy theory to take angels and make them like really weird and not at all biblical. And so many times, even in church, people's understanding of angels are determined by like television. Like they watch like, I don't know, Touched by an Angel. Y'all remember that show? Like Touched by an Angel, that's what angels are like. Or they watch like It's a Wonderful Life, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. Y'all remember It's a Wonderful Life? And oh, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Like what? That's just kind of messed up. It's a great movie. I love it. But that's totally not scriptural. So what do we really know about angels? And how does that relate to God really loving us and having our back? And let me just tell you, that's the whole point of God, us knowing that God has our back. Like, it's because he loves us. I can't say that enough. God loves us. He's a good, good father. I'm blessed, man, really. Like my dad, awesome. Amazing man of God, an amazing father. Was he very, very hard on me? Yes. Am I grateful for that now? Yes. But for those of you who did not have a godly father or a good father, God is a good father to you. And he's got your back, even if you feel like maybe in the past, like you've been left out. You're in God's good graces if you choose to be. He has a whole army behind you. What do we know about angels? Here we go. Three things. What are angels? Well, they're spiritual beings. We know that from Scripture, that they're spiritual beings. They were created by God. They're not like us. They're created as God's servants and his messengers. Number one, three things. Angels are worshipers. Angels are worshipers. Hebrews 1:6 says, "And when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, 'Let all of God's angels worship him.'" By nature, angels are created to worship God. The second thing, and I'm just going to go through this relatively quickly. Are you okay with that, guys? No? Good. The second thing, angels are not just worshipers. Angels are warriors. If we look at Daniel chapter 10, and we're not going to turn there, but in Daniel chapter 10, we see angels engaging in a spiritual war on our behalf throughout the world. They fight to see God's kingdom come and his will done. And that should be our prayer. And let me just tell you that God is completely and totally sovereign. But at the same time, he's given us the ability to choose. And it is our choices that determine whether or not we're going to walk in victory. God's plan for us, I want you to hear this so clearly. God's plan and God's purpose for us is to walk in victory. But it's our choices that determine whether we will or not. And so here's where the battle rages at the point of decision. You should write this down. The spiritual battle for your destiny, for your life, rages at the point of decision. You have a decision to make. Am I going to do this or am I not? Am I going to do this or am I going to do this? Am I going to go this direction or this direction? Am I going to go this direction or am I going to stay on the same direction? The spiritual battle rages at the point of decision, and that's where we better make sure that we know God has already decided the path and the purpose for us. We just have to choose wisely. Have you ever felt like you've been in the middle of a chaotic season and you don't know which way to go? Jesus says that's the storm that comes. It's the storms of life that come. Where is that? Matthew chapter 7, I believe, talking about the storms of life. But here's the foundation that we build on. Before the storm hits, what God's speaking already, build our lives on that. Angels are worshipers, but angels are also warriors. 2 Kings 19:35 says, that night the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. That's pretty brutal and pretty violent. And I'll be honest, I haven't seen angelic warfare break into the physical currently. But I know this, that there's a tremendous war that rages, and we better realize that angels are dispatched on our behalf to destroy the work of the enemy. We still, let me just clearly say this, we still have the responsibility of choosing wisely. Angels are worshipers, angels are warriors. Here's the third thing. Angels are messengers. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. An angel appears to a really wimpy guy, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." He gave a message from God to a little skinny kid named Gideon. And the message was, you're a strong man of valor, and you're going to lead the nation in the destruction of the enemy that's hounding it. That is the same message that God will deliver to us. When I was a children's pastor, and I hadn't been a children's pastor very long, there was a family that came, and they came from a very liturgical, very rigid background religiously. And their daughter was this free-spirited, wonderful kid, and she gave her heart to the Lord. She is just a seven-year-old. I think she was eight, excuse me. Ariel was 8 years old. Like, her eyes were open. She realized God loved her, that Jesus died to pay the price for her sin, and like she was very sincere in giving her heart to the Lord. And her parents had just recently made that same decision. And she gave her heart to the Lord, and the next week, both her parents, who were very educated, very successful, very rational people, they came to me and kind of pulled me aside, and they were excited, but they were a little freaked out, and they said, I just wanted to let you know, and like, I don't know if this is normal or not, but like, you know, Ariel, like, she gave her heart to the Lord, and she was outside, and her mom was watching through the kitchen window. Ariel was in the backyard, and she was playing, and it looked like Ariel was having a conversation with someone, and she was talking to someone, but nobody was there, and then she went back to play, and a little while later, she came in, and her mom asked, Ariel, who were you talking to? It looked like you were having a conversation. And she said, yeah, you didn't see the big man there? She's like, no. She said, yeah, he told me that he was really proud of me for giving my heart to the Lord, and that God was going to be with me all the days of my life, and that I was going to do great things for him, and there was a really cool future for me. Let me tell you, God uses angels to send messages to us. And I want you to realize this. Hebrews 13, verse 2 says this. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. Like, maybe the person I just talked to was an angel. About a year and a half ago, I was about to get on I-10 headed back to Lake Charles from Jennings. And there was a little tiny guy, like really he was probably under 5 foot tall, with this huge knapsack. When I mean huge, like it was like set down, it was like this huge big duffel bag thing with straps. It was like this high, and no joke, the guy was probably this tall. He was under 5 feet. And I can't even explain it. On occasion we'll pick up hitchhikers. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but it's gotta be a God deal. And so I'm about to get on the ramp, and it's like my truck has a mind of its own. And the next thing I realize, I'm pulling up next to this guy. I say, hey, you need a ride? And he's like, sure. It's like, okay, go ahead and hop on in. I'll grab your bag. I couldn't hardly pick up the bag. It was so heavy. It was ridiculous. And then he kind of bumps me out the way and says, I got it. And then he like threw it in like it was nothing. Made me feel real. And he was looked like he was in his 60s. I was really feeling kind of weak there for a moment. And I rode with him all the way through Lake Charles to Sulphur. He didn't want anything and asked that I let him off so he could sleep underneath an overpass right there in Sulphur. And the conversation was so amazing. There was just a spirit of peace, and the guy said yes, he'd served God. And, I mean, it was just really, really neat. And I've often wondered, was that an angel? Because it was so encouraging and it stuck with me. I don't know, but I know this, that God's angels, they're worshipers, they're warriors, they're also messengers. Luke 1, 30 and 31, the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, you found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son. You'll name him Jesus. Angels are worshipers, warriors, and messengers. But what exactly do angels do? And I realize this is more of a teaching. Is that okay? You know how much of a choice your captive audience. What do angels do? Number one, angels confirm God's direction. Matthew 1, verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is Joseph trying to figure out what in the world he should do with Mary, his fiance, who says that she's pregnant, but it wasn't by a person, it was by the Spirit of God. And Joseph is in a conundrum, because if anybody found out that Mary was pregnant, they would assume that he was the one who caused her to be pregnant, and then he could be killed for adultery. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. What do angels do? They confirm God's direction. And can I say this? If you ever hear a voice that's contrary to Scripture, realize that's not an angel from God. That if there's anything that contradicts the Scripture, that's not of God. And there is a deceptive enemy who does his very best to get you confused. So here's what happens when I hear something from someone or from somewhere that I'm going, Lord, is that you? I'm going to bounce it off of Scripture. I'm going to find a Scripture that confirms that. And if I can't, I'm going to disregard it. I hope this makes sense. Angels do confirm God's message to us. But can I tell you, it'll never be contrary to the Scripture and the Word that He's already given us. The second thing, angels protect us from danger. I know that many of you have thought that they're guardian angels, right? Has anybody here thought that there's guardian angels? Come on, yes, actually there are. Matthew 18, verse 10, I love this one. It says, beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones. This is Jesus speaking. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. Isn't that cool? There are guardian angels that protect us from danger. Psalms 91, verses 11 and 12 says this, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. In Acts chapter 12, verse 7, here's what we see. An angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. This is Peter in jail. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. Now Peter is in jail for telling the good news that Jesus really was the Son of God. And this angel shows up, bright light, he whacks him in the side and says, get up. Arise quickly, and the chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. Psalms 34, 7, man, I love this scripture. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. When we walk not scared of God, but in reverential fear, recognizing that he is big, he is huge, he can do what he wants. And we have that understanding. There's a fear there, like, man, that is the God of the universe. When we walk in that, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. And I'll be honest, I feel like over and over God has rescued me because I'm reminded of how big and how amazing he is. What do angels exactly do? Confirm God's messages. They protect from danger. Number three, angels minister to you. Hebrews 1:14. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who inherit salvation. They'll minister to you. In Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus, having been in a period of prayer and fasting for 40 days, 40 nights, says, then the devil went away, and the angel, and he was tempted by the enemy. It says, the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. We see in 1 Kings 18, we see Elijah, who after both a physical and spiritual battle is exhausted, and God sends angels to bring him some supernatural food, a meal for him to eat that sustains him. Angels minister. And honestly, we're kind of wrapping up. I feel like this is much more of a teaching message. But before I wrap up, I want to remind you, the battle that we fight is not against flesh and blood. But we've been given the tools to win. We've been given the tools to win. We've been given the authority and the power, not because of us, but because of Jesus. But here's the thing. We've also got to know that God has our back. And that he dispatches angels to surround us and to rescue us from the attack of the enemy. But can I tell you, it's not just on the spiritual front. And this is where I'm wrapping up with, is that you got to know that God's got your back on this, in the spiritual realm. That there are angels that if you are serving God and following him and fearing him, that he posts them around you. And that God will send those angels to rescue you. And let me tell you, that's my prayer for each of my kids every night as I pray for them. God, may you post angels around them. May they serve you every day of their life. May they walk in purity every day of their life. And may you post angels to protect them and keep them and rescue them. And I know this, I'm a stupid man left to my own devices. You probably are too, left to your own devices, right? I cannot even begin to tell you how many times I really feel like God has dispatched angels on my behalf to rescue me from my own stupidity and from the attack and the pitfall of the enemy. And I'm very, very grateful. But here's the last thing you must know. Every believer must know this as we wrap up. God has your back. I'm going to say it again. God has your back. Can y'all say that with me? Say, I got to know. God has my back. Say, I got to know. God has my back. Isaiah 41:10. I love it. It's one of my life verses. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Romans 8:38 and 39 says that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. John 16:33, Jesus makes this promise. In this world, yeah, you're going to have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world. There's two fronts where God has a plan to get our back, to look out for us. Number one is on the spiritual front. You got that? Here it is. He dispatches angels to watch our back. Number two, God's purpose and plan in the physical, and it correlates to the spiritual, is for him to have your back through the people that you've placed around yourself. I'm going to say that again because it's profound. God has your back. On the spiritual side, there's angels that he dispatches. In the practical realm, and let me tell you, the practical realm is a mirror of the spiritual, and it just flows right in there, is that God has a purpose and a plan for the people around you to have your back. But can I tell you, that's a decision that you have to make if you're going to have that or not. Everybody wants angelic protection, yes? You decide. if you're going to walk in the wisdom that God has lined out in Scripture for the people around you to be at a place where God can use them to rescue you. Proverbs 18:1 says, "He who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he quarrels against all sound wisdom." It is easy to isolate ourselves and go, "God, I trust you," and then push away from everyone around us. "God, I want you to rescue me." Ecclesiastes 4 says this, "Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can help and reach out. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." God's plan for rescuing you, God's plan for having your back, is on the spiritual side, angelically, yes. But can I tell you, you need people as well, because the person who isolates themselves is a fool. They're selfish. They're seeking their own desire. But when you realize it is God's plan to join you with people who have your back, I mean, it very clearly says it in Ecclesiastes. If you're by yourself, you're going to be attacked and defeated. But if you stand back to back with someone, what's it say? You'll conquer. But if you can get even more than one, get two, three, that's even better. Proverbs 11:14 says this, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But an abundance of counselors, there is victory." You have to know God has your back. But when the battle rages, there's a point of decision to be made. Am I going to trust God that He actually has my back in the realm I cannot see? You have to know that that's true. God has my back. I really believe that there's angels dispatched, that He's going to send them to be a protection for me. You have to know that. That's one aspect of God having your back. But the other aspect is He's speaking to us in His word and saying, don't go through life alone. In an abundance of counselors, there's victory. And I'm just telling you, would it not be for the flesh and blood, angels with last names, like my pastor, Pastor Jacob Aranza, Pastor Eugene Reisner, how about angels with names like Mom, Dad? How about angels with names like Lisa, my wife? Angels with names like Pastor Tom, Pastor Josh. I mean, I can go on. Dale, Dennis. I can go on and on. An angel to me has been Ronnie, Parton. I want you to get it. God has our back spiritually and through people. Don't isolate yourself. Why do you hear me talk about groups, groups? Who is it that can tell you something? If God is the only person who can tell you anything, the Bible says that you're isolating yourself, that you're not walking in wisdom, and that because of that, you're probably not going to walk in victory. So here's my prayer. You know God has your back, and you walk in wisdom with people who love Him, who trust Him, and who love you, so that you can trust them. Let's bow our heads. Man, my prayer is that we know God has our back, and that you don't walk through life alone, that you don't walk a life through life alone, separating yourself from God or from people. And if you're here today and you know that you've separated yourself from God, I'm telling you right now, He's a good Father. If you're listening online, if you're watching me, I'm telling you, don't isolate yourself from God. He is a good Father, and He loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. If you're here and you say, "Pastor, I feel like I've isolated myself from God. I've pushed Him away. I've not listened to His voice." I want to pray for you. If that's you, say, "Pastor, that's me. I feel like I've isolated myself from God." Come on, raise them high. Raise them high. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray for right now for those that raise their hands, that Lord, that right now you speak to them and they hear your voice and they hear you speaking, drawing them to you. And Lord, I just pray that you touch them and you meet them. And let's all pray out loud together. Say, "Dear God, I surrender to you. I know you love me. I know your sacrifice that you made for me. It was Jesus dying on the cross for my sin. I run to you and surrender all to you in Jesus' name. And if you're here and you've isolated yourself from people and you've tried to figure everything out in your life by yourself, you're like, yeah, I'm going to seek God and read the Bible. Let me just tell you, the Bible tells us don't isolate yourself. The Bible says that in an abundance of counselors, there's victory. But if there's no guidance, people fall. If you're here and you know you've isolated yourself from the counsel of godly people who love you, I want to pray for you right now. I won't embarrass you, but if that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I know that I've done that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I just pray right now for those that raise their hands, that, Lord, that you let them see the people around them, that, Lord, that you give them just strength and purpose to follow you and to seek out those who love them and know you. And may you give those people supernatural wisdom. May we walk and surrender to you in submission to the people that you've placed around us. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can look up here. We're done. Well, we're almost done. If you are here and you prayed this morning, you raised your hand and prayed, here's what I'm going to ask of you. Fill out this card for me. This is the connection card, the pastor.